And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Richard L. Pratt. And Dr. Pratt, it is an honor to have you back with us today.
Thanks so much, Dan. I'm glad to be with you. By the way, nobody calls me Dr. Pratt but my wife, so let's avoid that.
It's been since, I think, 2016 that we last touched base. And wow. The other day, a friend of the ministry, Christy Spanger, contacted us and reminded me that you guys are out there and she does some work for you. And the name of the group is Third Millennium Ministries. So to get us started, why don't we do a high level, what is your group and what need are you trying to fill there?
Oh, that's a great question. We were organized in 1998, and so we've been around for a little while. We're called Third Millennium Ministries because we began in 98, which was near the time of Y2K.
Oh, yeah.
98, I think, was the year that Al Gore invented the internet. and so we knew things were going to change at around the year 2000. Remember all the Y2K
sure,
stuff?
Sure, absolutely.
And a lot of Christians don't realize it till you say it to them. But in 2001, we entered into the third Christian millennium.
Interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things that we go around saying a lot, and I really do firmly believe this, we are the third Christian millennium, which began in 2001, is the best millennium yet.
There you go.
Okay. And the reason for that is twofold. One is that there are more followers of Jesus in the world than there have ever been in
right.
the whole history of the world, by the billions.
Oh, yeah.
By the billions.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
And also, they are in more places in the world than they've ever been before.
Yeah. You know, the other day, speaking of Chapelfield and that group there, we had a missionary come to our church, and she was talking about a work that's going on in Kenya. And she mentioned that, at least in her area, there's some 80% of the people that are Christian. I had no idea. I mean, God has multiplied the gospel worldwide in ways that are beyond our wildest dreams.
Oh, yes, beyond our wildest dreams. Because in North America, where we are, it's not going so well, frankly.
Right. Okay?
The church is diminishing in size and in influence and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, it makes us very dour and pessimistic.
Correct.
Which is sort of, we sort of, in fact, sort of baptize the pessimism sometimes to say, oh, this is really bad times.
We kind of excuse it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And reality, though, is that in Africa, which is the number one place in the world where the church is growing, it's unbelievable what's happening. And then Asia's number two, and then Latin America's number three.
It's beautiful.
And it's just unbelievable to the point that, well, you know, there are people that make a good living out of predicting what the Holy Spirit's going to do. Did you know that, Dan?
I've heard of it.
What I mean by that is that they, you know, they'll use sociological trends and things like that and sort of project into the future that if the Holy Spirit keeps doing what he has been doing,
yeah.
this is what the result's going to be.
Yeah.
So if, for example, Holy Spirit keeps on moving in the next 25 years. We're now at year 2025. In the next 25 years, what he did in the previous 25 years, okay? So if he does it again, what he's been doing, then there are going to be over a billion professing Christians in the continent of Africa alone.
Mm.
Over a billion.
Wow.
Almost three times the number of people that live in the United States.
Well, these numbers are huge.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous time to be alive for a Christian because King Jesus is not losing the battle for the earth.
Amen. Hey, it's so good to hear that. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
So these people that are out there and they're growing, there's a need for education. There's a need for good
right.
theology, and that's, I think, the field in which you're working.
That's exactly it. This is why Third Mill, we say Third Mill for short, for Third Millennium. This is why Third Mill exists, is because while the body of Christ has been growing like crazy, we have not kept up with providing leadership development for the church.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, those same experts I was just mentioned before, they will tell you that up to 85% or 90% of people who are pastors today in the world, up to 90%, have had less than 1 hour of training in the Bible.
Oh, my.
Think about that for a minute, because you know how much all of our highly educated pastors in North America, how they still mess up our lives sometimes. Well, imagine what they would do. Imagine what they would do to you if they had had less than an hour of training in the Bible.
Oh, my.
And that's what 85 to 90% of the world, the Christian world, faces today. Pastors who have never had the opportunity to formally study the Bible.
How did you find out about this?
Well, there are experts that do this.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, it was an epiphany for me.
Yeah,
okay?
I'll bet.
And it came from the fact that my wife and I, from around 1989 until about 1995-96, I was teaching in a seminary in the latter part of that, and throughout that whole period, 96-98. And as a seminary professor, I got to travel a lot to teach and to do evangelism. And so just one day, it just hit me that, wow, the church is really growing out here, but that the places in the world where the church is growing the fastest, there's the least opportunity for Christian leaders to learn the Scriptures.
Yeah, yep.
Number one, Africa. Number two, Asia. Number three, parts of Latin America. And that's where it's growing, but there's the least amount of opportunity for them to learn the Bible, whereas in North America, we're not growing. In fact, we're on the decline by most counts that people give you. And yet we have like Bible schools and seminaries and Bible teaching churches on every street corner practically.
It seems that way, yeah. Yeah.
And so so what was an epiphany, and maybe people had told me that, I don't know. I never had heard it before. I never registered with me before. But what was an epiphany soon became a moral conviction, and that was that ought not be.
That's right.
And that somebody needs to pay attention to the need for leadership development in the church in those fast-growing parts of the world. And so I went to every seminary I could find, and I was teaching in one, but went to a number of them and went to all these ministries, you know, big-name ministries that we would all recognize. And they all said, no, you can't do it. It's too hard. You just can't be done.
Okay.
So a friend of mine said to me one day, she said, you just got to do this yourself because nobody else is even going to try.
Sometimes it takes that. Somebody just sees the knee and say, you got to get going.
Right. And I remember her saying to me, I want to put a seminary in a box and I want to send it to everybody out there. And I said, well, how many of these pastors do you want to send it to? And she said, all of them.
Well,
I said, well, where do you want to send it? And she said, everywhere.
Everywhere. That's right.
And
I love that vision. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I never would have done that on my own. And she's a good friend of our family, and if she had not stood by me, in fact, she was the chairperson of the board for a long time, and now is emeritus on the board. But I never could have done this, humanly speaking, on my own. Okay,
it's of the Lord.
Yeah,
yes.
So,
yeah.
That's why Third Mill exists. It's biblical. Our slogan is biblical education for church leaders, biblical education for the world, all of them.
That's right.
For free.
That's right.
Biblical education for the world.
Well, that's another big point. Let me just turn off my Outlook because it just made a noise here, and I hate it when that does that. And I'll turn on the on-air light because I failed to do that too because there's other people out there. How on earth do you keep going providing this material for many, many people for free?
Yeah, well, you know that Bible verse, freely you receive, so charge them as much as possible. It must be in there somewhere because a lot of people believe that.
Yeah.
We knew this about church leaders around the world, and that is that most of them are very poor.
Yes.
And we just said to ourselves at the beginning, how in the world could we possibly charge for something with people who are making, let's say, $100 a month and
yes.
trying to put their families
Very
on
Very good point.
And it's just not the kind of thing you want to do.
No.
And I believed that by God's grace, we could raise the money in the United States alone. And we basically are supported by gifts of individual donors, local churches, and some foundations in the United States and parts of Asia.
Very good.
And these are people who are being very generous to us, and that after time, you know, you sort of get the reputation that you can trust. You can trust Third Mill.
That's
right. We're not exaggerating things. We're not going to lie or misrepresent things. And they, you know, that has been a blessing beyond belief.
Yeah.
Because you don't know this about me, maybe, Dan, but I was an Old Testament professor. And I mean, is there anything more boring than an Old Testament professor in a seminary? And so I'm not a fundraiser. I'm not a business person. And I think the Lord called me to do this because everything I do at Third Mill plays into my greatest weaknesses.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I think he wants to make it clear that this was not Richard Pratt's work. This was his work.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So, and that's a good way to do that.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, today we are talking with Dr. Richard Pratt, and he's the co-founder and president of Third Millennium Ministries. I think I got that right. And
right.
We're talking about this basically seminary education for free to many people of the world. At any given time, the number of people being trained probably varies. Mm-hmm. But is there any estimate?
We have more than estimates. We keep very good numbers.
Okay.
Because we're committed not to exaggerate things, we don't guesstimate or do samples and extrapolate those samples outside, which a lot of people do. In other words, we don't speak evangelistically.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't stretch it a little bit in enthusiasm for the gospel. But I can tell you that just this past December, we do real number counts twice a year, and December 31st is one of those times. And we broke a mark. We reached a high level mark for us. So that here's the way I would put it to you, and I'm trying to be very precise here. Between the year 2010 and the year 2024, in those 15 years, in those that frame of reference. Remember, we existed a lot earlier, but we lost data and corruption and that kind of thing. But in 2010, we had good data. We have served, or we are serving, the needs of slightly over 2 million students around the world.
My. My
in 172 goodness. Countries.
Oh, my.
And in 26 languages.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Way back when we first you and I first talked, you were serving various languages, but it was limited.
Five of them, probably.
It was.
Five, and we've gone to 26 now.
Oh,
and
my word!
About to add a 27th, right at this point, and start the process of adding, and 172 countries, slightly over 2,042,000, something like that. In December. Now, that was December, okay, 2024. So we add about 150,000 to 200,000 students a year on average. That's about what happens.
Wow.
And it's just because the need is so huge. It is so huge.
Now here's a question just popped into my mind. Do you have any students here in America where they take advantage of your materials?
Yeah, we do. In fact, we have universities in the United States, Malaysia, and Africa that use us in fully accredited university programs.
Oh, neat.
Okay, so that's one thing that can be said about us, but we're not stuck at that level because the average pastor in the world today has a seventh grade education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the average, seventh grade. So if we're going to reach all the pastors in the world, remember that was the goal, all of them, we have to have designed a curriculum that can be understood, maybe with a little bit of help, by people who are at that level of a seventh, eighth grade.
Sure.
And so that's our baseline. But we stack things on top of that up to where we are actually a bona fide MA degree in a number of universities, fully accredited universities. And Third Mill itself has its open resources that places like these universities use and other ministries as well. We have over 800 official partners on the field that run the programs on our behalf. And but we also, not only do we have open resources, but we also have an institute that is like a Bible school, okay? And it provides learning communities and guidance for how to go through the curriculum. And there are no educational prerequisites. You can do that if you can manage it, you can do it. It doesn't matter how much formal education you've had. But then we also have a fully accredited seminary that offers an MA degree and soon an MDiv degree in English and in Spanish.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah. So, yes, we are used in North America, primarily with immigrant communities. And the reason for that is should be obvious to us, and that is, although for many of us it isn't, let me say it this way. In North America, even though evangelicalism is declining, the church is actually in numbers. It's just numbers I'm talking about now. We are at the bottom of the list on the growing church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're at the bottom, but we barely eke our way onto that list. That our churches in North America, evangelical churches, will grow, but the growth pattern of the experts that are out there at Gordon-Conwell Seminary and other places like that, they will tell you, at least orally, they'll tell you that a massive part of that growth is among immigrants that have come to the United States.
Right.
Asian primarily, African secondarily, Latinos, of course, Hispanics also. So, unfortunately, those very communities in North America are ignored. If your first language is Mandarin, it's hard to find a place where you can study the Bible in Mandarin in the United States.
Oh, yeah. We have our daughter-in-law is Chinese, and her native language is Mandarin. Yeah. And right now, her mother and father are living with her, and they only speak that, you know, just broken English. Right. And the mother was, I don't know what she's doing right now, but she was trying to go to a church in the Hudson Valley, you know, that's Chinese-speaking, Mandarin in particular. And there's not many of them around that are evangelical churches. So there's a real need here.
The same is true also with Spanish, oddly enough. I mean, it's strange, but it's true.
That is odd.
There are many opportunities. And African languages like French and others that we have, that we provide, like Amharic, Ethiopian, for example, Swahili, we have those languages too.
Wow.
And so if you get a community, and by the way, we're about to start Somalian, because there are a lot of Somali immigrants in the United States, and many of them are Christian, but their leaders don't have the opportunity to study the Bible.
This is a very interesting view here that's coming forward today. We're talking with Dr. Richard L. Pratt, co-founder and president of Third Millennium Ministries. How do you find all these people to work for you, and especially since you're totally non-for-profit and there's not a lot of money in this? God must be driving the people to you somehow.
In some respects, that's true. I think, you know, early on, it was harder to find the people to help, like the translation and things like that.
Right.
And translation quality control is like the pinnacle of what we have to accomplish.
Amen.
The other things, the production is relatively easy. We're produced in writing. We're produced in audio only. But we also have video curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in all these languages that we're talking about.
Oh, my.
And so we work very hard at that, but the quality control is very important, which means you have to have really good translators.
Yeah.
And but in the early days, it was hard. We learned on those first five languages that you were aware of already. But we learned how to do it.
Yeah.
And so we have, by God's grace, we have good connections with missionary agencies, with denominations. Anglicans help us a lot.
Interesting.
They're all over the world, and if you get a bishop or an archbishop on your side, they'll open doors like crazy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And Pentecostals like us, Baptists like us, Methodists like us, you name it. We're used by all the denominations, practically every denomination you can name. Because if you, the only thing you have to be able to work with Third Mill fairly well is a very high view of the authority of the Bible. If you have that, if you're going to try your best to submit yourself to the Scriptures, then that's good. That's needed. And if you can say truthfully that you believe the things and try to live out of the things that are mentioned in the Apostles' Creed.
That's right.
That's a summary of Christian doctrine for us, the basic core beliefs.
That is a great grid work right there.
And yeah. If you can do that, you can work with us fairly easily.
That's great.
We try to keep secondary things secondary. And bizarre things happen, brother, like Archbishop of South Sudan, Anglican Archbishop of South Sudan, went on national television just a couple of years ago and announced on what amounts to NBC, South Sudan, believe it or not, there is one. And he went on and announced that in order to be a pastor in the Anglican church of his archdiocese, you have to have taken at least 1 year of third mill.
Oh, that's...
Now, he did that because we have it in Arabic and we have it in English, which are the two languages that he needs.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So the Lord is using this. Can you think of any particular person that comes to mind who's benefited from the curriculum?
Yes. There's so many, and we get communications from the field all the time. Yeah. We love meeting them in our weekly staff meetings. We pray for them. We have morning prayers every day in the office, and people all around the world who are on staff will come to those morning prayers. So it's like on Zoom. And so we'll have prayer Zoom, and it will be people, this isn't a weird one, from Ukraine and from Russia on the same prayer meeting.
Oh, that's neat.
Okay. Okay. From Congo as well. Okay. As they're going through what they're doing, things like that. I think probably again, there's just so many stories, it's hard to pick one. But one of the ones that I think is very dramatic for us is the fact that people will be, even in the United States, will come up and say, "Where have you been? Why didn't I know about you?" Things like that.
Yes.
So very desperate to learn the Bible. And I remember one time in a church in Texas, because we have a Spanish initiative that we're trying to figure out in Texas right now, in San Antonio, a man came up to me after a worship service and he said, "I just want to tell you something. I came to the United States and I was a gang leader," and he had the tattoos to prove it.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's standing there in front of me, and his tears start coming down his cheeks, and he says, "I've been here for 10 years. I became a Christian about 6 years ago. And in all this time, no one was ever able to teach me the Bible in Spanish."
Yes.
At the level that he needed to be a pastor.
That's right.
And so he was weeping there, knowing that this gift was now his, that he could
do beautiful.
It. It's beautiful. Yeah, it is. Wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And you know, all of us, people like you and me, Dan, we have certain things that we expect pastors to know about the Bible. I mean, we expect them to know it. But unfortunately, sometimes even the very best efforts of missionaries, they're willing to be satisfied with the leaders of the church in other parts of the world having much less training in the Bible.
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what we believe is that if we think our pastors ought to know the Bible in a certain level, why not make that possible for everyone else in the world?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And so I can tell you stories, very particular stories, of women who have been struggling from oppressive cultures in Africa, for example,
right,
and who now are learning third mill, and they gather in groups.
Beautiful.
And things like that. So it's not just for pastors, it's also for women, holy women in these places, and the struggles that they face, which are enormous.
Yeah.
Enormous. Even in closed countries like China and Iran, where it's very, very difficult to be a Christian, because we are in Farsi and the language of Iran. It's people use us and do it underground, basically. And
I want to give you a chance to share your web information so people can look you up, particularly also those who would like to support your ministry. So slowly give that information over the air.
Thank you. That's kind of you. Thank you. The name of the ministry is Third Millennium Ministries. That's the name of the ministry, or Third Mill for short. And you can find our main website at thirdmill, thirdmill, thirdmill.org. Thirdmill.org. And we welcome prayers. We welcome and invite and encourage people to pray for us because there are lots of challenges. God is blessing in unbelievable ways.
Amen.
But there still are challenges all the time.
I can imagine.
And, of course, you know, financial help is always welcomed, of course. No gift is too small, no gift is too large.
That's right. Kind of,
but at the same time, we don't want people to think that we would do something like this with you, Dan, just soliciting money. The main thing we really do want from people is for you to put us on your prayer list.
Amen.
For you to put us on your church's prayer list. Take a look at the website. What I would encourage people to do, take a look at the website, thirdmill.org, and explore it a little bit. It's a big website. It's got all kinds of things. Look at a lesson or two, and then recommend us to people.
Our guest today has been Dr. Richard Pratt, and he's the co-founder and president of Third Millennium Ministries. Check him out online, thirdmill.org. And Richard, thank you so much for taking your precious time and joining our listeners today.
Thank you, Dan. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.